Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today we have a treat. We have two treats, actually. I had the wonderful opportunity to introduce these two gals to you. We've been trying to get together for them to do an interview with me for their film, which they will talk about later. And I kind of snuck in and got this interview before they could interview me. And I'm really happy to have Anne Cabano and Christine Aldridge with me today. Welcome, girls.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis.
And, well, we're just going to start right off. Since there are two of you, I'm just going to keep going. And ask you if you would share your Reiki stories with us. So whoever goes first, doesn't matter. And then when the first one's finished, then the second one can continue.
Sounds great. Well, my name is Anne. And my Reiki story, like every person's Reiki story, is very interesting, I think.
Of course.
Well, I always say, you know, I didn't find Reiki. Reiki found me.
Right.
And back a while ago, I was trying to remember the year, and I think it was 2004. I had a ceremony performed by a man named George Pooley. He is a Hopi medicine man. And found out that I had an attunement. And that absolutely would reflect my journey with Reiki. Here you go. Here's an attunement. Here's an initiation. Now go. Kind of like that. It wasn't until 2007 that I finished my Reiki training through my mastership through the Southwest Institute of Healing Arts in Tempe, Arizona.
Right.
I worked through the traditional training, and then I moved on into the transformational Reiki, which is taught there at SWIHA. That's what we call it, SWIHA. And I'm now the lead transformational instructor there. That's the short version, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in what kind of motivated you and how what part of you got drawn into Reiki.
Well, you know, Phyllis, I was working with some hospice patients, and in particular, a family that I was with for 5 years.
Wow.
I always emphasize the 5 years part because they were on hospice for 5 years.
That's very unusual.
It's very unusual. And I began to observe and learn about how, I guess, energy right before my eyes, how the energy of hanging on to your loved one and not wanting to let go, and what that really started to mean. I mean, what does it mean when you say you don't want to let go? It's so, you know, formless when you think about it. And I found myself doing Reiki. And I didn't know that's what I was doing. And the man's daughter came in and she said, "Oh, Anne, that's so nice of you to do Reiki." And I thought, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just putting my hands in the air and doing something. And honestly, I say it very flippantly because that's what it was. I was just going with my gut on what I was doing. And then I started to put a name to something I had always been doing. Mm-hmm. And that's when I thought, gosh, I better find out what this Reiki thing is.
Uh-huh.
And that's really what started to drive me to learn or have skills around or tools or understand or explore what Reiki really was. So that's what drove me to Reiki. there's no, like, I didn't have a personal, like, an accident and a healing experience around it. I really, really feel like I was called. Reiki said, hello, Anne. And I picked up the phone and did what I was told. And then I realized later what it was that I was doing.
Hmm. That's great. Thank you. Wonderful yeah. story. Okay. How about you, Kristen?
Are you ready for me, Phyllis?
Oh, yeah. We're ready.
So as far as how I found Reiki or how Reiki found me, my tactile training was back in 2009, so just a couple years ago at the Southwest Institute of Healing Arts. And it was so interesting because I had never done any research on Reiki. I wasn't really sure what I was getting into when I saw it on my schedule. It was something that was just part of a program of mine. And at that point in my life, I was pretty much open to experiencing anything and everything. I had and still have a pretty open mind when it comes to this sort of thing. And after the first 4 hours of my experience and Reiki training, a lot came together for me. I kind of, like Anne, had been able to put a name and a group of people together that would explain and give me some sort of comfort for a lot of the things that I had already been doing and experiencing. And how I understand it today more so, and what my draw is to learn more and do more is really to be able to, I mean, put together and articulate how powerful this modality and this way of life truly is. And when I look back at my experience in 2009 and the entirety of my life, I recognize that Reiki was present and has been present with me from the beginning of time and probably before that as well. It's something that exists in my life. It's something that I have kind of danced with all throughout. And I realized that it's probably the force that pulled me out of some of the darkest times of my life, you know. And I definitely didn't recognize that that's what it was. And it was kind of refreshing to walk into a classroom and almost be given like an instruction book and said, here, this is what you've been experiencing. This is what you've been called to do, you know? And not only that, creating the community around that as well, because even in the Reiki aspect, or a lot of people I hear have stories where Reiki found them, they've been doing hands-on type work their whole lives, not knowing what it was. You can still feel really alone in that and kind of weird, you know, and not really have an explanation for why you're doing what you're doing. And so it was a relief to know that there was a group of people, not only in the room I was in, but in the world, you know, that were actively participating, studying this ancient tradition, you know. And so it's absolutely a call that I have in my life. And I have had nothing but blessings. I mean, Anne was actually my Reiki instructor at Suiha, and that's one of the places where the video that you mentioned that we're working on, that was when the video started to kind of cultivate and come into form. So.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should go back and talk about your school that you both are, well, that Anne is very involved in as an instructor and you came to as a student. Can you give me a little summary? Like, at first, when I met so many people from the school, I thought that it was a school of Reiki, but actually it's more than that. It's got bigger dimensions than that. Can you talk a little bit about the school for me?
Oh, my goodness. We both can talk about the school. First, there's no place on earth, I believe, like this school. It's a holistic school. It's a school for energy modalities, starting with massage, going to Reiki, polarity, cranial sacral work, hypnotherapy, and beyond. And more than that, this is a place of transformation. Anybody that makes it through the doors of Sweeha always leaves a transformed person. It's a spirit-directed school. We like to call it kind of like that movie, that Harry Potter movie where they have like the magic school. It's kind of like a magic school, but not magic. I don't know if that makes sense. Sweeha is experiential, I feel. It's an experience. What would you say, Kristen?
When you said that you thought Sweeha was a Reiki school, that's actually kind of accurate. Sweeha is definitely an experience, because much like your original perception, people kind of hear about it and they wonder about it and they think about it. And it's not until you step foot in the facility that you absolutely step into the next phase of your life. And when you say, I thought it was a Reiki school, that's highly accurate, because even if you aren't in a Reiki program at Sweeha, Reiki is hanging in the hallways and has been for the past 14 years. I think she's been doing it for just about that long. But so it's definitely very present in the hallways of Sweeha, and it laces throughout everything that happens there. Like I said, whether or not you are involved in the program directly. But the school is dynamic. You could probably go there for 6 years and never take the same class twice, learn something new every day. I myself have gone through two of the programs as a student there and could probably turn right back around and join another program because there's always something fantastic there to learn. So, and Reiki being one of the biggest aspects of Sweeha, because KC brings the traditional and the transformational Reiki to the students. So the students there have a kind of a broad choice. You know, I don't think there's anywhere else in the Valley that necessarily teaches transformational Reiki as KC has brought it to Sweeha. So.
Mm-hmm. And when you say transformational Reiki, what does that mean?
Well, I'll let Anne answer that one since she is the instructor there. So.
Oh, okay. Good idea.
I think that the number one question that we get is, what is the difference between transformational and traditional? And besides some basic things, one of them being a transformational weekend training at Sweeha is a 24-hour training in 4 days, and you go through Reiki 1 and 2 in the same weekend. Uh-huh. Whereas traditional, typically you would have a minimum of 21 days of integration, and that's just a minimum. And that depends on your Reiki master and who you're studying with. We also have a belief that Reiki already exists within you, rather than something that's being passed along. Now, there are different ideas around that, and that's fine. We say we don't care how you get to Reiki, just that you get to Reiki. That's what we care about. And really, just like Sweeha, transformational Reiki is an experience. It's something that you can't explain, but you can sure feel. You can definitely feel it when you're taking the class and experiencing the group. I don't think that's unlike so many other Reikis. I think it's exactly the same and something different all at once. I would say it's kind of like if we all wrote down the word Reiki on a piece of paper, that we would all be writing the same word, but it would look different on the paper.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's see. Well, I'm just wondering, I was caught by one of your comments about your feeling that you know, we all, you know, everyone has Reiki, and I believe that's true in the sense of the energy, but in my working with Reiki, the energy, what I've come to realize is that there are several different ways that we use this word. And, you know, that's what is a kind of, sorry, I got lost in a distraction. It's a kind of characteristic of our English, of the American English, is that we take a word that is a noun and we use it, for instance, as a verb and as an adjective and so on. So, you know, we can say we reikied someone, or we gave the, you know what I mean? And
yes.
So I talk about Reiki as an energy, and for sure, because it's universal life energy, everything has Reiki in it. I mean, we're all imbued with Reiki. The thing that people come to me for, I believe, is to become a member or become a student of a certain practice. And my practice has a certain name and a certain lineage that differentiates it from other practices, but there's no, for me, there's no judgment about which practice is better. It's more just to have different practices with different foundational principles so that people can choose the one that matches their need at the moment. And I feel like that's what's happened in the world over the last 20 years. So, I can agree with you on the principle that everybody has Reiki, and that as a human being, I feel like as a student, we need to choose the practice that we want to use to access this energy inside of us and to be able to grow it and nurture the relationship between my personality and Reiki. And I'm just wondering if that seems familiar to you or if you have a different belief system.
I love what you're saying, Phyllis. I feel like what you're saying is definitely in alignment with me personally.
Uh-huh.
As a Reiki practitioner and as a person of Reiki, if you will. And I strongly believe in the evolution of honoring where Reiki came from and understanding what it means to me and continuing on to learn more, even with the possibility of evolving in my own belief.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm really excited about is Kristen and I have the honor of, we're going to Japan in the beginning of April to study with a man named Sensei Yamaguchi.
Yes.
Yeah, and so we're really excited about that. It's Jikiden Reiki, which is said to be a form closer to the traditional lineage. I don't know. I'm going to go and study and see what I think. And I think that finding out what Reiki means to you or to me or to Kristen or to anybody absolutely goes along with your personality, your learning style, what you respond to. It's all about the human brain. It's about getting the brain out of the way so that the Reiki can flow through.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So I'm wondering how you all moved from your dedication to Reiki to doing a video and what that process was. So can you talk to me about that, both of you?
Do you want to start, Kristen?
Yeah, sure. Well, as I mentioned, Anne was my instructor at Sweeha, and in retrospect, we recognize that 24 hours as being like an incubation period, when kind of our souls said, hey, how you doing? I'll see you in, you know, in a year. And it's very interesting to look at the backstory. But we came together about a year later. It was December 25th. It was Christmas time of 2010. And we were doing an outreach for the homeless. And it kind of transformed into something way bigger than us. And we didn't even know what was happening, really. We went out on Christmas Day, and for some reason, we decided to bring video cameras. I don't know why, but the day before, yeah, I know, right?
what did you do on this day? You were going to go out and just film the desert, or?
Phyllis, it's so weird because there really was no plan. It was almost like Spirit had a hold of us and was directing our moves. I mean, in a way that I've never experienced before. And I know that you'll really appreciate the next part of this is we began to film each other during this outreach.
Uh-huh.
Next thing you know, we've been out there for a couple hours. We start talking to some of the folks in the street. We start asking them questions. We start, you know, listening to their stories. Then we start talking about love. And that seems to be the one piece that makes everybody stop in their tracks and think. And they either get happy, they get teary-eyed, they start to stutter, they don't know what to say. I mean, these incredibly articulate folks that we've been speaking with, they've been talking for an hour straight. When you mention love, they completely stop in their tracks and they get kind of shy and they get this childlike vibe to them. And so we knew something magical was happening. The part that I know you'll like is from Christmas Day, for 21 days straight, we filmed. We didn't mean to do that, Phyllis. We look back at it maybe 3 months later, and we look back at our files, and we're just, because we're kind of numerology people, we like to look at numbers. And when we recognized that we had filmed for 21 days straight, and not only that, we probably slept on average maybe at the most 3 hours of sleep on a good night for that 21 days.
Wow.
Because we were so plugged in. We were so plugged in a way that nobody else around us really even knew what the heck was going on. And it caused actually a pretty huge rift in our lives. But I'll let you pick up from there if you want to.
Well, that's when we started exploring this idea of love. And really, you know, the film is called One True Love. And everything you can imagine around that. And we absolutely felt that Reiki belonged in this story. Because Reiki is universal. And what's the universal language? It's love. It's the thing that drives us all. It's the thing that we all want. We want to be loved and we want to love. And that's the bottom line. And as we started to realize that what we were doing was an excavation, we were starting to slowly get the picture. As we chipped away at these questions and these ideas and these concepts, and we realized we had moved into a human connection project. You know, people walk around in this world and they feel lonely and they feel sad and they feel like nobody can relate to them. And with all of these people on the planet and all of these loving things that we can do for one another, why does that exist?
Mm-hmm.
Why does anyone ever walk around feeling alone? And so we really, really started investigating this idea, and it led us. I mean, it absolutely led us. We would film something and then realize a month later why we had filmed that. It's sort of like a backwards process.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the whole process. We're doing all of the filming and all of the editing and the production of the movie because we want people to know that they can make a difference in this world. And you don't have to have tons of money or tons of skill or tons of anything. You can have the natural resource that exists within you, and that natural resource is love.
And Phyllis, as we had mentioned on the, it started out as the homeless outreach on Christmas Day, and as the project progressed, we recognized it to be more of a human outreach, like Anne had said, and what we ended up discovering was that the homelessness aspect had nothing to do with people living on the street. You know, we started to recognize connection, you know, with our friends on the street, and then our friends who live in multi-million-dollar houses, you know, and the missing aspect was absolutely love. And it wasn't until about 9 months into the project that we recognized the obvious, you know, which was the Reiki aspect. And that's when we started to take this turn into the Reiki world. Of course, it had been with us the whole time. You know, I think that Reiki is what had our backs. Reiki is what was with us that day on Christmas when we first began. And Reiki is absolutely one of the guiding forces. And the projects and the questions that we ask and during our interviews, I mean, we'll go back and, you know, watch an interview, and we won't even remember asking some of the questions that we ask, you know, and it's definitely beyond, it's beyond us. We are absolutely just, we are the vessels. We are the messengers, you know, and we've done about, I don't even know, upwards 30 interviews, and decided to start talking to people about Reiki because of the magic and the beauty that we've seen as a direct result of Reiki and in our lives individually, you know. And I tell you, just from the experience at Sweeha, in one weekend, people experience, whether it's traditional or transformational, either modality, they experience a connection with this world and the other humans around them that they have never felt, or they had always been looking for their entire lives when they start to experience Reiki, you know, and that piece, that element that Reiki brings, or Reiki reminds, or however you want to think about it, that element of lost that Reiki fills, it is exactly what One True Love is about, and is what we started to investigate, you know. And when we originally had, you know, Anne had mentioned meeting you at the Reiki meeting, and it just seems obvious to start talking to people that have this in their daily lives, that have this as a practice, that have this as a modality, that have this in their lineage, you know. It just makes sense to start to bring this and kind of expose the power in it, you know, just as a way of life.
People in this world, we start to have a transformation when we are witnessed. And sometimes being witnessed is something as simple as somebody holding your hand and not saying a word. And sometimes being witnessed is giving advice or giving guidance or listening to the story and helping you reframe it or redirect it. But really, we want to be seen, and we have to see each other. And in this world, we walk around with our heads down, and we don't look at each other in the eye, and we don't connect with each other in the heart. And we started to realize the power in connecting with people. And in this day and age, that is a change that I want to make, and I feel comfortable saying that Kristen wants to make. We want to connect with people. We want to get personal. We want to love, and we want people to know that they have a safe, loving place. And I think that's a drive behind what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's really about seeing people, and it's really about that quote, being the change you wish to see in the world. Mm-hmm. This is the change I want to see, and the only way I know how to make it is to show up as that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. We're showing up as that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. I love your passion, both of you. I think it's wonderful, and it's very refreshing. And I'm wondering, I would like to go to the concept of love, and wondering if you feel it more than a human emotion. Do you feel that you're speaking about something that is, is it a feeling? Is it a quality? Is it a state of being? Is it something that is sort of on the horizon and a goal, you know, to reach a kind of pinnacle of love? So what are you finding out? So maybe the question is, where did you start and where are you now? And of course you won't know where you'll end up.
Well, what I'm finding out, Phyllis, is that we're going to really have to come up with some dynamic questions for you when we do get to interview you. Because you've got our number.
About love.
About love. What about love? It's a very interesting question that you ask, and I love all the angles and juicy aspects that you just touched upon in that question.
Uh-huh.
And this is, we're investigating.
Uh-huh.
So I think this is a report back.
Okay.
Because what I would say is it's personal. Mm. What we're finding is it's personal. And it's universal. And it's connectedness. And it's consciousness. And it's disconnectedness. And it's unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in between. And as we are breaking down what the meaning of love is, I think every person that I talk to changes my mind in one way or another.
Uh-huh.
Leads me to firm up in a belief I already have even stronger, or gives me a different perspective to think about things in a way I never thought about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the question, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What is love? And that's the question we hope to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, I look forward to that. It's a good preparation. I never thought about that aspect of our interview today.
It's divine.
It's a good one. So, you've got this film going on, and what is your dream for the film? Like, are you going to obviously do all these interviews, kind of get back, do the editing, and then take it to film festivals, or, what would be your greatest wish for this film to be, you know, out there and... I don't know. I'm just wondering.
That's almost a question is what is love, I think.
Uh-huh.
Because every step along this way, we have had ideas and dreams and thoughts around it that absolutely are different than what Spirit has in mind. We actually planned on putting it out this month. And we did a fundraiser... Probably, when did that fundraiser end? Just ended in January. We did it for about 2 months. We did a fundraiser, and we thought, why are we doing this fundraiser? We just got the hit to do a fundraiser. Lo and behold, because we are doing it all ourselves, our little laptop decided that it couldn't handle all of the footage and all of the editing, because as you put together pieces, you sort of cut a piece out of a video, and then you sort of put them together like a puzzle, but what you're doing is creating another big file and then another big file. And our computer decided it wasn't going to work. And interestingly enough, when we ended the fundraiser, we had exactly the amount of money we needed to get an updated computer that could handle what we were doing. And that's how it's been. And so now we know that we're probably going to be putting this out in the next, I would say safely, 4 months, maybe by the summertime.
Uh-huh.
We have one interview to do, Phyllis, for this particular project.
Uh-oh.
That's the only thing. But we also think that's divine, because when you know you're supposed to be doing something and then it keeps getting, you know, put to a different way, there's always another deeper step that we've come across.
Uh-huh.
In the process. And I am so excited to see what happens. And so I'm going to let Kristen talk in a minute. And I would say my dream for this is for one person to realize that they're not alone.
Mm, beautiful.
Yeah. Well, Phyllis, the bottom line is that we have a message to deliver, and I think mine is pretty parallel to what Anna's saying. Absolutely, that if one person in the world can recognize that they are not alone, then by all means, I have done the work. And on that note, I absolutely know that one true love has already accomplished that. And so in the grand big scheme of things, I want this documentary to be nationwide. I want this documentary to be shown in Australia, in Japan. I want people to be able to relate and recognize and see themselves in the interviews that we've captured. And as a sub to that is all of the fantastic interviews we've had and the connections we've been able to make with people. I mean, this interview is a perfect example. The one that we're having with you right now is a perfect example of the connections that Anne and I have been making this whole time. This past year and a couple months has been all about creating connection and talking to people and getting to know people. And you're actually the first one that's turned the tables on us, which is actually kind of fun and exciting, but it's not an end goal for me as much as it is a goal in action. It's a perpetual goal. And every day there's something new and magical that happens. You know, will this be in film festivals? Absolutely. Do we hope to have it up in a big screen somewhere? Harkins, I don't even know where, but maybe, you know, it's definitely going to be shown at SWEHA. It'll definitely be at the film festivals. Yeah, thanks to Facebook, we have a pretty decent fan base across the nation and people that are already willing to let us sleep on their couch and have venues ready for us as soon as we get the film rolling. So if we make it one trip across the United States, then that would be amazing. So,
well, I have this great image of you traveling with this little, well, I mean, it's more romantic to think of it as a big canister with a reel in it, you know, and instead of just a like a computer chip, you know, going and sleeping on people's couches and having groups of people come and watch the film and then have this discussion afterwards about their experience of love. And
yes,
that
yes.
just sounds very cool.
Yes.
Yes. It's already happening, and we haven't even put it out. It's absolutely amazing.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I love that vision, Phyllis, and I'm so grateful that you brought that to the table. So I like the idea of us with the old school film canister.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, they're so much nicer looking than computer chips, I think.
Absolutely.
But nevertheless, here we are in the computer age. And I have to say that, maybe I should just check this out first. So I don't mean to be personal in the sense that I want to know how old you are, just because I'm 63 and I come from a, I think, a fairly different generation than you.
Well, Kristen, I am 29.
Uh-huh.
And I, Anne, am 43.
Uh-huh. Great. So there's a kind of bridging for that. And, you know, one of the things that I find really inspiring about what you're doing is that you are not alone. It's like I just, I don't cruise the internet, I mean, at all, really. I use it as a reference guide or reference possibility and a place to find things, but I don't really cruise just to look at what things people are doing. But I have connected with some of the TED Talks, and I have connected with some of the things that people have sent me from YouTube, and I have connected with just the myriad of strange and wondrous things that have been sent to me over the internet as links. And it's like inspiring and also very, reassuring that there are people like you out there doing something and putting yourselves on the line. And I just want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you for that, Phyllis, so much. And that, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel honored to receive that from you. I'll receive it. Thank you. And I know that you say that because it exists within you as well. And, you know, we say if you spot it, you got it.
That's a nice bumper sticker.
It is.
That's great. And what if listeners want, you know, like I get that I'm the last interview that you're kind of counting on for this film. And I'm just wondering, what about the listeners out there? Is there any way for them to participate? Or I know that we'll put a website, you know, on the e-card so people can connect with you if they want. But I'm just wondering about connecting with the people who are listening today and finding out how they can, what they can do.
Wow. Well, we're always open to ideas. We've had a lot of people approach us with things that they've felt inspired by or what they've seen in One True Love and what it means to them. And we always sit down with anyone that wants to sit down with us. We talk on the phone with them if they can't sit down with us. We love to listen. We answer all the emails and all the ideas, and we support as much as we can people getting involved and what that means to them. So more than really us saying how can people get involved is how are you inspired to be involved and how can we support that?
Right. Great question. Wonderful.
Yeah, and Phyllis, it's with the involvement, I mean, one of the most dynamic things that somebody can do is hold us in their heart, you know. And when we talk about universal consciousness and life force and all of that, one of the greatest things that's happened over this past year is that One True Love, the symbol, because we have a symbol, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a star with a spiral and a heart in the middle. And that symbol's vibration has been raised and continues to be raised throughout this whole process, you know. And the more people that become aware of what we're doing, the bigger that consciousness becomes, you know. And it's not about being famous. It's not about, you know, making big bucks. It's absolutely about the collective, and it's about the word getting out. So one of the biggest, littlest things that somebody can do is just hold that for us, you know, and get involved energetically if they don't have any other way that they'd like to, you know. Just an awareness is beautiful. So
yeah, and that us is the universal us. Without a doubt.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Good clarification. And I want to just segue back to complete a kind of circle. And I'm just wondering, Kristen, so are you, were you initiated as a master? Have you taken that step?
Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
I didn't know if that, I kind of missed it. I was just going through my mind and wanted to just clarify that. So both of you are on a roll with this film. You are involved in, how do you say it? Southwest School of...
The Southwest Institute of Healing Arts.
Uh-huh. So how do you say the acronym?
SWEHA.
Oh, SWEHA, right. So I wanted to say SWAHA, and that's... And that's actually, it's actually a Sanskrit word that means let it, kind of let it go.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, so what is your, what, I guess that this is probably all consuming. Is that true? Project? I mean, do you have other Reiki projects that you have going on or other things that you're doing in Reiki besides teaching at this institute and also doing this film?
Wow. Well, I feel like everything I do is of the same cloth. It's so hard to differentiate what is one project and what is another project.
Uh-huh.
We are in development right now with some ideas around Reiki that we want to pull together in a discussion or a class or whatever it starts to look like. We're in the process of a Reiki. We always call it, we're so wishy-washy with committing to a term for things. And I say we because it definitely is we. We're doing a Reiki thing right now. And that's involving some of these interviews that we've done with these Reiki masters, along with the training that we're about to go and be blessed with, our trip to Japan. It's not really firmed up, but that's the biggest Reiki thing I would say that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that your trip to Japan is definitely going to add a whole nother layer of your, I don't know, a kind of visceral knowing about Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was for me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm very excited I want to say learn another language, I guess.
Uh-huh.
By hearing somebody else's approach or somebody else's ideas, because I feel it's going to be along the same lines of the love question. You know, what is love? What is Reiki?
Right. Right. Well, that's a very good insight. Good for you. And Kristen, what about you?
As far as what I'm doing with Reiki, aside from the movie?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Or do you have dreams or do you have, I don't know.
Oh, I have lots of dreams. I'm looking forward to our trip to Japan without a doubt.
Yeah.
You had talked about, you know, the age difference and there's almost like a bridging. And, I think that I am 29, like I said, and, I got in touch, really abruptly with my calling in this lifetime. And, I do feel like it's absolutely a part of my being. It's been threaded into my existence that the exact terminology actually that you use, that the bridging, there's a convergence that's happening right now where age and experience and time and all that stuff doesn't matter. And if I think in terms of dreams, the biggest thing and the best thing that creates happiness in my life is being able to be that person and being able to be the face and voice of discovery and being the face and the voice of exploration and fearlessness, you know. And because I have a really interesting past that wouldn't have if you would have seen me a while ago, I there's no way I should be sitting here right now, you know. And so I love the magic of my history, and it absolutely plays out in the work I do today, you know. And Reiki, like I said, has always been a part of that. And I look forward to creating the bridges, not only with the Reiki, but just in general, with the film, with the trip to Japan, and with any other projects that Anne and I have going on. It's about creating connections. So
wonderful. Thank you too so much for sharing yourselves, your passion, and articulating your dreams.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you, Phyllis.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.